Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you this morning?
Morena, I'm really good for some reason. I can't explain it, and I don't want to talk more about it because I don't want to burst the bubble. I know.
Well, that sounds lovely. I'm very pleased for you. I'm also excited to hear about this label, 88 Rising. What is this?
I mean, I don't normally do a record label because obviously there would be too many, but this is such an interesting story and such interesting music. So it's an Asian American based record label. So in the mid 2010s,
the past?
Back in the old days, there was some Asian American, Asian rappers and people on the internet doing really well. And this group of guys said, this is crazy. You know, obviously, you know, major labels aren't going to sign them and recognize them. And so they formed a label. And 88 is a lucky number in Chinese characters. And so now they're doing really well. In fact, they call themselves, they're a record label, but a video production marketing unit. You know, like they're a conglomerate. They understand the bigness of what they're doing and their interaction with mainstream media. Like, I don't know if people remember Rich Brian. Mm-hmm. He had a different name before, which I will not say. But, you know, just he's from Indonesia and he's just blowing up online and they sign him. There's another Chinese rappers called Higher Brothers. They're really funky and interesting and they signed them. And so
there's quite a direct relationship with like internet culture as well going on.
Absolutely. They really know how to play this game. And, you know, as most people are aware, there's like about four record labels in the world that own almost everything, and they're these huge global conglomerates. But small labels will often form around either a genre or a region or a city, and these guys are formed around like a sort of a cultural identity. But you know, it's bigger. Like they'll have Japanese artists, Korean artists, which we know have their own obviously thriving music, but it's sort of a Korean American or a Korean diaspora sound that's not necessarily fostered by local labels. The same with the Chinese artists. But what's funny is they've been really successful in China.
Okay, that's so interesting.
And now they have an office in Shanghai and they've been doing tours in China. So,
because sometimes those things don't necessarily, when we've talked about like labels or movements that have come out of specific cultural situations, either they sometimes relate really well to one specific setting and then don't translate to another. This one seems to be working in both.
Yeah, so China's
spaces.
Loving them. Now they have an office in Shanghai, so as well as LA and New York. And so I guess because they can be a little more raw or raunchy or wild than, you know, some of the mainstream Asian sort of pop scenes tend to be quite conservative.
Right, okay. And, let's have a listen, I reckon, to this first artist who did kind of come through that internet space, Joji. This is a huge song, like really famous song.
Yeah, he had a big hit. But it's a really weird story. He had a YouTube persona where he did like pranks wearing a pink tight suit. In fact, he started the Harlem Shake. The pink suit guy.
Oh my gosh.
And I've watched some of it. It's horrible. It was called Filthy Frank. And it's just dumb pranks screaming at people. But he was really big. But now
so he didn't write the Harlem Shake song, but he did the actual first Harlem Shake.
Yes.
Okay.
With the pink
Yeah, I know. Body. I know the one you mean.
And so now he's kind of reinvented himself in this kind of sexy R&B, kind of lo-fi R&B, which is sort of neat. And so some of his fans are like, what? It's like seeing your alcoholic friend sober now. Like, what?
Good for him.
But yeah, I mean, through TikTok and other things. So this is a 2018 track, and he's actually born in Australia.
Oh, shout outs.
He's Japanese Australian.
This song is cool.
It's lovely.
Big pop song, yeah.
I think all of his music is really lovely, and his videos still have a weirdness to it.
So okay,
like
right.
Filthy Frank is kind of there lurking.
In the shadows. It's a little bit of Filthy Frank.
Shadow of Filthy Frank.
But yeah, this is like a million miles away from the Harlem Shake. This is not where I would have expected the guy who invented the Harlem Shake to go, you know? People are full of multitudes.
But so 88 Rising was just so smart. They would see, you know, Asians coming through and say, we've got you.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they've organized heaps of parties and tours and events and you know, they're just a proper collective, you know, like,
yeah,
like
it seems like quite on a big scale, but not that enormous, you know,
that's right,
conglomerate scale, but yeah, you know, it seems on a big scale like they're still keeping that ethos of what a small label
that's right
would normally
that's right
do. Yeah,
and they'll only, you know, they'll have, they really stick to their guns. I mean, obviously they have artists that aren't Asian, but they really are about celebrating that and their logos and their merch.
Can you? Yeah, this is nice. But this is quite different to the other songs we're going to play. So they're obviously not like stuck in a genre necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it was hip hop, but and, you know, this guy was so interesting. So Keith Ape is another, from Korea, is another rapper. I mentioned Rich Brian, and then Dumbfounded, who's I discovered him because he used to do a lot of rap cyphers, and so he's Asian Korean American. So they just picked up anything cool that was happening. It just seems like a really smart.
This is really nice. I'm gonna move us on to our next track though. Sorry, Georgie, but we've got Atarashi Gakko is the next artist here.
Yeah, then it's Gakko with an exclamation point.
And all caps as well.
Yeah.
This is cool.
So it stands for New School Leaders.
Cool.
So they call themselves an anti-idol group. You know how in the J-pop and the K-pop scene, it's, you tend to get a lot of what they call idol groups, which is like boy bands and girl bands, right? But these four girls, they wear the sort of school uniforms, you know, the sailor-y looking ones.
Yeah.
But then they're just sort of rapping and wild, and they happen to all be gymnasts, so they do a lot of jumping around, and they're really...
That's so cool.
So they're from Japan, and they are in Japan, and so they started, but then in 2021, 88 Rising picked them up, and have now brought them to, like, the global...
So there seems to be something that 88 Rising is really good at doing, is like seeing something that's working in a particular context and then giving them like a platform into a way bigger context. Because I was just looking up, that Joji album went to number one in the Billboard chart. That's crazy.
I know. And so what an
he's the first Asian artist to ever do that in history. That's insane.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, in one hand, they've captured a wave, but on the other hand, it's just like there are Asian people, multi-generational, that are living all over the world, right? Australia, New Zealand, Canada. And then there's obviously Asians in Asia. And just like, why is there's no representation in the mainstream media? The song's called 999.
Nice. Easy to remember. This is cool. The production on this is quite interesting.
Yeah, I was gonna say, this rolls.
I'm kind of imagining them doing flips since
you
said
watch
the gymnasts.
Yeah, you watch it. Wearing those little Sailor Moon school uniform
so
outfits.
So cool.
Steezy. So do they have a lot of success in Japan as well? Or are they...
These girls?
Yeah.
A bit, right? You know, they did well, but they're not proper J-pop.
So they're not hitting the mainstream necessarily.
Yeah.
So where do they sell most of their records? Is it in the States?
Well, now, because this is 2021, they just signed them.
Okay, right.
But so 88 Rising is probably going to, because they have a market in China now, so they'll probably be selling in China.
This is fun and so different from the track we heard before. And the third song that we've got is different once again. And you said this one's kind of adjacent.
Yeah, so, you know, some Asian acts who they didn't get to sign, they'll still bring them in, like tours and alignment. And Audrey, this is Audrey Nuna. Audrey Nuna, she was all over their YouTube page, so they've obviously got like an alliance.
Yeah,
so this is just all about supporting Asian artists.
That's cool.
And I want to say Asian American, but a lot of them now aren't. Like Atarashi were not. But Audrey is. She's Korean American from New Jersey. You got me? Eureka, what you want? And she's got sort of weird, funky fashion that is inspired by the Asian fashion, but it's not, you know, because it's that Asian American. And, you know, videos and stories that represent, you know, sort of...
This is catchy, yes.
And apparently Blackpink who are iconic.
Oh, yes.
Huge, huge girls.
She's one of their favorites.
Ah.
You know, so like.
She's got a real strong prep flow.
And like, you know, again, the videos have a little bit of weirdness. There's a shot where she's like in a bathtub of gray water with naked multiracial Barbies all around her. And like,
cool.
Just,
okay.
You know, it's got elements of like sort of Asian pop, but different. And, you know, America's been confronting its Asian American prejudice, you know, with the had that shooting in 2021.
Yeah, it was awful. Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Asians all over the world know that there's that prejudice, but, you know, that sort of brought it back to the media and everyone realized, oh, wow, it's still tough for you guys. Like, that's horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And you do get a mix. You get people who have just recently moved, but then you get people that are 5-6 generation American or New Zealander or Australian.
This is mad. I really like this.
Yeah, have a look
I've liked
the video
all of
too.
These tracks,
yeah.
Actually. And, you know, when we were listening to it, you sent through a whole long list of artists that are on their stable or that yeah, are kind yeah. of, like, adjacent. And the, like, genre was so diverse. There was heaps of, like, quite hard-out rap. There was heaps of really, like, intense pop, like, super poppy pop.
Yeah.
It seems like, yeah, just this kind of idea of they're just, like, who can we help? Who can we, like, get in and platform?
And I like
it's
that
awesome.
You said help, because it really just feel like a celebration. Like, it's... It's just very positive, and they bring everyone in. And yeah, what's interesting, I didn't get to see like who goes to their gigs. You know, is it mixed audience? Is it Asians? Is it, you know, rap fans? Like, I'm not sure exactly who's their audience, but yeah, with like Joji before, his audience now is everyone.
Yeah,
you
know? That's so cool. So we were just listening to Audrey Nuna before that, Atarashi Gakko and Joji to kick us off there. They're all artists either on or associated with 88 Rising. Thank you for bringing us that record label this morning. I found that really interesting, Kirsten. Appreciate it. Where are we going next week?
Well, I hope you let me do it. I don't know. I might get kicked out. Bardcore.
Bardcore.
Oh my god.
Oh,
you know, come on, the internet, they have lots of little weird things happening.
I believe. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
All right.